In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. For the past few Sundays, we've been reflecting on the primary theme of the Gospel of Mark, the cost of discipleship, the cost of following this rabbi, this teacher, this Jesus, the Christ. Last week we learned that any reward that the followers of Jesus get doesn't happen on earth, and oh, by the way, sell all your possessions and give them to the poor. The week before, we learned that when you enter into a commitment to another human being, you honor that commitment in ways that respect the dignity of that human being. The week before that, we learned that we don't get to be the cool kids who only have the power to do Jesus-y things. We're all part of the same team, even if we don't particularly care for others who follow Jesus in their own way. All of this adds up to what must be the worst recruiting spiel in history. Come follow me. You'll be reviled. You'll get no special treatment here on earth. You'll probably die. But wait, there's more. Today, in addition to all of that depressing news, we get it reconfirmed just in case we missed the point in earlier teaching. Nobody gets to be the chief cool kid. Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." Nobody gets to be the chief cool kid. All this traipsing around the Galilee, and we don't get the reward of being named closest to Jesus. What a bummer. But apparently they have not been paying close attention, these disciples, to the larger issue, the cost of discipleship, because Jesus has slipped in that reminder. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Drinking the cup, it's a bitter brew. Being baptized as Jesus was baptized, it's committing to serve so deeply, so completely, that it's possible that one might die for it. Because Jesus is saying that he is going to give his life as ransom. And so we here in this 21st century, here in Richmond, Virginia, are offered the same challenge. Are we willing to give our all for the gospel? We've had marvelous examples of that over the years. Martyrs such as Archbishop Oscar Romero, who was on the path to sainthood, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the four Maronite missionaries, three nuns and one laywoman, killed in El Salvador in 1980, they were willing to give their all for the gospel, being servants for those who had no help, no voice, no life. That kind of commitment isn't very popular these days. We weigh everything in terms of pros and cons. And it's not pros and cons in terms of the challenge of the gospel. It's about our own comfort, our own wants and needs. I readily admit that I tend to think that way, and I struggle with that. What am I called to do? What challenge does Christ lay on my heart? What is the uncomfortable place that I am called to serve in this time, even though I don't want to, regardless of the cost? I've only done that a few times in my life, and I wish I could say that I've done it more. But even in this season of my life, there are still challenges that Christ lays on my heart. Things that he is saying I must do, even though it feels like a hair shirt itching and scratching against my skin. And I try. I don't always succeed, but I try to follow, to put my own ego in my own back pocket, and to simply follow and to serve. Why would I do that? Why wouldn't I simply aim for a comfortable life, one that accords with my own wants and needs? Because there are others in this city, this commonwealth, this world, who cannot have even the most basic needs and wants met. There are those who are broken, who have no hope, who are in the grip of addiction, or in situations of violence. We see them on the streets. We see them in the news. We even see them in positions of power. Power is no guarantee that someone is not hurting or lacking in hope. And as long as there are those who are hurting, we all are challenged by the gospel to move the needle away from broken to closer toward the reign of God. I do that too because there is a promise of eternal life. Not that my good acts guarantee my admission to the heavenly realm. Jesus has already provided for that by his ransom of his life, as he says in today's gospel. But because I have gratitude for Jesus' love for me, so unconditional, so complete, even though I often do not live up to the way that he loves me. Thanks be to God that I will not be barred from eternal life because of my failures, because my moments of grace are not quite the counterbalance I hope they are. I'm not alone in that. I expect that many of us worry about that as well. So what do? We broken ones who struggle to put the needs of others ahead of our own, we do it however we can with the gifts that God has given us. We welcome Caritas guests. We send funds to the Carpenter Kids Project in Tanzania. We support kids at Thomas Jefferson High School. We have an open door and welcome for all who need to talk about their faith or their lack of faith or their distrust in religious institutions. And we do one other thing. We give. In this season, we ask for a commitment to give in the year to come. Some of this is simple financial management. We know what it takes to keep this place going, to provide for worship and for outreach, to support those ministries that we're committed to. We know this and we need to budget to see what we can accomplish for God's world in this place in the coming year. But more than that, it is a gospel challenge. Are we willing to commit by naming up front what we can give as servant leaders? Looking to serve the least rather than tending to our own needs first and giving God the leftovers. I used to say to my last parish that a pledge is a sign of covenant, a sign of commitment to the faith community and to God. It's not a legal contract. It's not protection money. We don't send Big Vito out to kneecap you if you don't pay up. And God doesn't bar you from eternal life if you don't meet that commitment. Instead, think of it as a promise to try to be your best self, the person that God created you to be. Think of it as a thank you gift to God, the one who has given you so much, the one you cannot possibly repay except by giving what you can of your life. There's a cost to discipleship that pairs with the cost to keep the doors open and the lights on. Are you willing to commit to this faith community so that it can be part of that gospel challenge to change the world, to turn the conventional wisdom upside down, to help the last to be first? There is a cost to discipleship. It's not paying dues. It's not checking off a box. It's so much more. It's saying, I'm all in, and I will make changing the world my priority. I will make changing the world through this place and our work together a priority. There is a cost to discipleship. Remember that every day in your interactions with the world around you. Remember that when something so basic as your pledge card comes through the mail. Be a disciple, even though it makes your skin itch and rub sometimes, even though it stretches you out of your comfort zone. Be a disciple. The cost is high, but the reward is eternal. Amen.